This is KCUR. State House Blend is a weekly political podcast from KCUR that investigates the Kansas legislature and the Missouri General Assembly.
Introduce yourself, please.
Chris Kobach, Kansas Secretary of State.
This sounds like a big show, but let's hear the open first. This is State House Blend. I'm Sam Zeff.
And I'm Brian Ellison. We're using coffee
and donuts
to better understand the legislatures on both sides of the state line,
the issues and the people in Topeka
and Jeff City. Here we go.
And joining Chris and me today in the KCUR production studio, Melissa Carlson from Overland Park. Thanks for being here.
Thanks, Sam.
And my friend and colleague Nick Haynes, who hosts Week in Review on KCPT. Nice to have you here. I want to take my first trip around the table, and I want to ask Melissa what's on her mind.
Voting is so fundamental to who we are as Americans, and it seems that we go to an awful lot of trouble to keep a very few incidents of voter crimes, which are sometimes just spacey old people double voting or something. We're going to a lot of trouble to stop those people. But in the process, we've made it so difficult for well-meaning citizens.
Well, I guess I disagree a little bit on how difficult it is. I mean, photo ID, if you poll it, Kansans are overwhelmingly in favor of it. I mean, it's one of those issues that's really off the charts. About 84-85% Kansans in favor of it. And I think that's because most people just instinctively feel that, hey, existing in the 21st century, you're going to have a photo ID. Virtually all of the people who vote drive to the polling place, which means they were supposed to have a driver's license with them. Heck, you can't even buy the kind of Sudafed that works anymore without a driver's license.
I read that you're getting ready to announce prosecutions next month. We're in the middle of August here, so another 2 or 3 weeks for voter fraud that your office has uncovered. You still on track for those September indictments?
Yes. So the Kansas became, we think, the first state in the country to have prosecutorial authority at the Secretary of State's office. We also added it to the Attorney General's office. Other states have had that. And the reason the authority was needed is photo ID and proof of citizenship, they stop some forms of voter fraud. There's still some kinds of fraud you can perpetrate. One of the easiest is voting in two different states. It is almost impossible to stop that. So there is a way already, an administrative way of slowly cleaning up our voter rolls, although you never completely catch up because we're such a mobile society. People are constantly moving. But you also have to, I believe, deter people from doing it in the first place.
Does the Kansas law provide for possible jail time?
Yeah, in theory. I mean, you have, if you look at Kansas crimes.
So what are the penalties under the statute?
I did not bring the statute, but it depends. You have to have this table. We have these non-person misdemeanors and non-person felonies. Yes, in theory, a person could do. I'm forgetting the exact number of days.
But time in the county jail, for example.
Could do some time for double voting. I think it's unlikely. It's ultimately up to a judge to sentence someone. These are presumptive probation crimes, by the way. So the presumption that a judge is supposed to address the crime with is probation. We would be asking the judge to do something other than that and give a fine. It's unlikely, but it is possible.
Right. Well, what I'm hearing, I mean, there's a lot of latitude with a prosecutor.
Sure.
What I'm hearing you say is that cases prosecuted out of your office, you will not be asking for jail time.
I don't anticipate it. Unless we had, it's possible. I don't want to say never. I mean, there are a couple of cases we're looking at where you have serial double voters. They've been doing it for years, election after election after election. So, in most cases, no, we would not ask for jail time.
Nick?
You never see, and you've talked about the huge success you've had in politics, and you've been elected now twice to a statewide office, but you never see a letter in the Kansas City Star or the Lawrence Journal World saying, kudos to Chris Kobach, do you? And you've become the sort of most villainized politician in our region.
I will say that people have written those letters. They don't get published in the Kansas City Red Star.
So,
did I say that?
So talk to me about that. So, I mean, has that become a big irritant for you?
No, not at all. I mean, I just recognize that the print media is what it is. I think, KCUR, radio and television media is much more balanced. But no, I don't expect to be treated even-handedly in the newspaper.
But really, it's about immigration. Yet we have Donald Trump, who's doing exceptionally well in the polls at the presidential level because of the immigration question. And whatever he has said, it has only elevated his chance.
An illegal immigration question, with appropriate kudos to our legal immigrants to the United States.
Yeah. So I'm just curious about, I mean, so you're feeling less marginalized you've got somebody now who is at a bigger level now talking about the immigration question.
Well, I've never felt marginalized by it. I believe that the American people agree with me that we have a system of legal immigration. There's nothing wrong with asking people to come here legally and denying benefits and encouraging people who come here illegally to not stay and to return to their homes and do it the right way.
By the way, just one other. So since you brought up the presidential election, are you ready to endorse today?
No, not ready to endorse today.
Okay. Final thought or question?
Thanks.
Melissa.
My final thought is about the committee that discussed in-state tuition for children of undocumented workers, undocumented aliens. Maybe they're not working. But what made me think of that was when that was in the committee, Ed Tremor brought up E-Verify. If you E-Verify, then there won't be, the people who shouldn't be here will leave because there are no jobs. But then it got tabled because I think people want to blink at E-Verify. They want those workers who will work for very cheap wages that no American would work for. And so they're here. I mean, they are here. They're working. They're working for low wages. And their children are here. And I believe we should educate them because when you educate children, then they go on to product. They have the potential to go on to productive lives. If we just say, no, college is unaffordable, you don't deserve to go to our schools, our colleges, then nobody gets ahead.
I think it is outrageous to give in-state tuition subsidies to people who are illegally in the country. Look, I'm looking down the road at paying college tuition for 5 daughters. And I think a lot of listeners are paying college tuition right now for their kids, or they may be in college and accruing student debt. The idea that the people of Kansas should use their taxpayer dollars to, instead of reducing tuition, they're going to give a tuition gift, and it's now over $20 million a year, to illegal aliens in the state. That's outrageous. A state should look after its own citizens and residents first before it even thinks of giving away a huge subsidy to those who are not here legally. And think of it from a fairness point of view. Someone who grows up on the Missouri side of the state line and decides he or she wants to go to KU is going to pay 3 times as much in tuition as someone whose presence in Kansas is illegal under federal law. And so I think as a fundamental matter of fairness and as a matter of we don't have enough resources in higher education from the individual family's perspective, why would you not give that money to Kansas, that subsidy to Kansas families, and then think about maybe people from Missouri coming in who are here as U.S. citizens before you give it away to illegal aliens?
But it was the parents who broke the law. What do you think should happen then to those children? Should they be locked into a cycle of poverty or low-wage jobs where they can never work
Outside of a low-wage job.
At this point, they're not children. So you're talking about people who are brought in before the age of 18. They have now become adults. As adults, should they be given a gift by the taxpayers of Kansas? No. The taxpayers of Kansas are already having a hard time getting their own children through college. We should not be asked to provide a subsidy to people who are here illegally. Now, those individuals who are brought in before the age of 18, now they've turned 18, now they take on the responsibility of their illegal presence under federal law. I believe they should follow federal law. Return to the home country, get in line, come in legally. It will take a long time. It will involve paying some fees. But you know what? There are millions of Americans who are now Americans, and millions of people who want to become Americans who are doing it the legal way. And I think it's a slap in the face to legal immigrants every time we give a benefit to somebody who is here breaking the law.
All right, we're going to leave it there. Melissa Carlson, thank you from Overland Park. Thanks for being
in
here.
Thanks for having me.
My colleague and friend Nick Haynes, a thrill to have you here on State House Blend.
Hey, happy to be here. Thank you for inviting me.
Chris Kobach, to get to know you just a little bit better, we end the program with your favorite song. What is it?
Wow, my favorite song. My kids are singing Now I'm a Believer all the time. I think they were watching Shrek, and so I've got that in my head. I've got the Now I'm a Believer. So that would be the Monkees, I think, circa 1967 or something.
State House Blend is produced by Matt Hodapp. That's State House Blend. See you next time.
That was an excerpt from State House Blend, KCUR's podcast about the Kansas legislative session and the Missouri General Assembly. You can listen to the full episode by subscribing to us on iTunes or at kcur.org/statehouseblend.